the gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sending me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, y'all.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches.
They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit.
Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining us again on an episode of That Witch Life Podcast. Today we have kind of an interesting topic that I'm really glad that we're talking about, and it's kind of about the ethical uses of magic. When would magic be appropriate? When maybe would you not want to use magic? These are kinds of the questions that I think can get confusing, because a lot of people will recite like the Wiccan rule of three, things like that. But the truth is, like we've discussed in many other podcasts, not all witches are Wiccan.
Right. And by the way, this is Courtney. I'll introduce myself since Kanani is probably still mad at me because I got us here so late today.
I am.
I'm sorry. Poor Hillary was sitting here waiting for us.
I was like, is everyone okay?
Did they stop for Dairy Queen and almost die again?
I was like, oh God, did they die?
No, it's because I had everything twisted. Anyway, so that's what's going on. But, you know, ever since I started doing witchcraft, there was this law of three, like whatever you put back out in the universe comes back to you threefold. And so that has led people to be careful about what magic they cast, but sometimes be nervous about doing spells at all.
Right.
Right. And I can get into this more. I don't actually believe in the law of three. It's not that I don't believe it is a good thing. I just don't believe it exists. I have theories on that.
You believe in karma, but...
When I also, yeah, karma... Again, that's a very watered down term, and because I remember speaking with a Hindu person about the concept of karma, and it's vastly more complicated.
It's way more complicated than we are. Yes. Always like, yes. Oh, karma. That's karma.
That's
and
karma.
You're like, that's
yes.
Literally not how it is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, all right, I'll just come out and say it. So, for me, I feel like magic is fire, and fire can be good. Fire can be destructive. Fire can keep you warm. Fire can burn you. Fire can overwhelm you, or fire can be controlled. But it really depends on the environment you're bringing fire into. Now, if you're bringing fire into... Okay, so we record here in Hillary's basement where there's a concrete floor and clean walls. Okay?
Yeah.
And if this room were completely empty and you were to drop a burning match or a burning torch or something,
yeah,
nothing is going to burn.
Yeah.
Right? But if you had this room stuffed with... old newspapers.
Or tapestries.
Tapestries,
or
oil. Yeah. And you think basically just stuff.
Yeah.
That's kindling. Then the place is going to be an inferno very,
right,
very quickly. And so I feel like that's a symbol that if the room is the symbol for your life and the stuff that's piling up is your unresolved business, like, do you owe somebody an apology? Are you entrenched in a relationship or like a friendship that is draining you and treating you badly? It's not like you're bad because you're in that. It's just a factor.
Right.
And then you bring magic into your life. Those things are going to blow up. Whether you're doing good magic, quote unquote good magic, or bad magic. And I feel like magic is neither good or bad. It's like fire. It just is.
It just, right, is.
So
yeah, I agree.
Depending on, so if you keep your life in order and you consistently, you do the best you can by others and you clean up your mistakes when they're wrong and you check yourself and how are you treating others and making sure that you're checking how others are treating you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then your magic will be very productive.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it really depends. I mean, if you're doing things with malintent and you're like doing things that are not, that are to harm other people, I mean, you'll be a good person. Like, and that goes for everything, not just magic. I mean, it's like, I think people go like, oh, magic, but it's like, that's life. You know, if you're,
right,
a bad person and you
there will be
maintain all the, there are consequences. And
yes,
also if you have all this negative energy, you attract negative energy.
Yeah,
so it's like,
absolutely.
So you kind of get the energy you put out there. So, but I also don't believe that it's like, oh, I do this thing, well, it's going to come back like this, because,
right,
I just don't feel that that the universe works quite like that.
No, you know? And sorry to keep monopolizing the time, but I feel like the story so well illustrates it. So, Kanani, you remember one of my exes, whose name I will not say on here, but the one that had the girlfriend and
didn't tell me about it? Okay, yes.
So he did a spell that wasn't... He did a spell that wasn't bad or good. He told me he did a spell to bring a witch into his life. And he brought me. And I ended up being like a flamethrower in his life because he actually had a girlfriend and didn't tell me he had a girlfriend. And mm-hmm. then when I would ask questions about how come his ex, as he called her, kept calling, he would lie about it. Well, when I finally figured out the truth, I told her. And it turns out she has an anger problem. In addition to being made very rightfully angry, and she went completely
ballistic
on him. Then a pipe burst in the basement of his job, and his job literally went to shit because it was flooded with sewage.
Oh my God.
And then he got hit by a van. And he wasn't seriously hurt. So all of these things were happening, and people would say, oh, it's because of karma. And I said, I don't know what karma is. That is a man who was, and I say this with compassion for him because he had some trauma, and I feel like the trauma led him to do some painful things. But he did have a lot of stuff piled up in his life that needed to be addressed in a serious way. And he brought magic in, and magic burned it all up, right? So that's what I use as an example. He didn't cast a baneful spell. Saying, I want a witch in my life is not a negative thing.
No.
But the other stuff he had around meant that there was going to be some pretty serious drama.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the reasons that I'm glad we're talking about this is because I felt like even though I have never identified as Wiccan, and I never was one who did a whole lot of deity worship. And so I feel like by default, I still kind of felt like for some reason I would abide by the Wiccan rules and the Wiccan read and all these other things, just because it's like, you feel like life has to have some rules, right? There has to be some sort of guidelines that I need to know about. And so, but as I later went into it, I just kind of realized that, you know, I don't necessarily have to agree with these things to be a practicing witch. And as we've kind of discussed, a practicing witch can come from all kinds of faiths. It can come from someone who doesn't even practice a specific faith. And so I think it's interesting for people to kind of get out of that kind of boxed mentality of these are the rules of witchcraft. Right. It's like, no, these might be rules that exist within the Wiccan religion, but these are not necessarily rules in regards to witchcraft.
I also think in any belief system, it's important to question things. You know, absolutely. If you think that something doesn't feel right, I mean, I think blindly following anything is
not a good idea.
So I think, you know, if there is something that you don't identify with, I mean, maybe that is something that is so big and vast that you realize this particular path is not for me, and you do your own path or you find a different path. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, you know, I don't agree with this. And I mean, I think it's okay to have that like healthy amount of skepticism around that, because I mean, if all religions went by that, it would be chaos, right?
Absolutely. You know,
like chaos.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the interesting things that happened with someone I know in the last couple of weeks was we have an event coming up, and the event specifically was for Sunfest this summer, and Janet Farr is coming to be our ritualist, and it's a Hecate ritual, and it's very witchcraft focused. Well, someone asked this metaphysical shop owner, hey, can we put our flyer up on your bulletin board? And they said, oh, well, thank you for asking, but no, I'm sorry, we do not promote witchcraft at the store. This is a store where you can go and get aura readings, where you can go and get your tarot read, where the person actually goes to buy all of their altar supplies. And yet they're saying, we don't promote witchcraft. Now, this is, you know, kind of a conservative town. So part of me wonders if maybe like that's...
I think that's some...
Part of
something.
Me kind of thinks that that's part of it. But there is part of me that also understands that there are people that somehow have been able to compartmentalize all of these things as somehow not witchcraft related, and that they cannot claim the title of, you know, practicing magic or witchcraft. And yet, in essence, you know, they do a lot of things that involve spell work, magic, and witchcraft.
Yeah.
And some people just need to compartmentalize it that way so that they can deal with it, when really it's like they're just afraid to own the name. And I think part of that is, I think there is a, it's somehow deemed unethical to practice witchcraft.
Well, and I think there's a stigma. There's a lot of, like, misinformation about witchcraft.
Absolutely.
Like, people are like, witchcraft, hexes, they're faxing everybody. And it's like, okay, listen. Like,
it does happen.
It does happen, but that is, like, really not the only thing.
No,
they do. And, you know, and so I think, and I also think, too, here's the thing. Sometimes I think that's a marketing thing, because if someone's, like, a new agey or, like, kind of alternative woo shop, right, so to speak, right, then it's not, like, you look at shops that are, like, witchcraft specific or kind of new agey, like, aura, chakra specific. So you kind of get the ones that are more kind of rounded and have a lot of different things coming in. I think they try and sometimes get away from just saying, like, we are this thing, because they do attract people that are put off by witchcraft.
Right.
And they don't want those people to think, like, they don't want to go there and have their friends go, you went to a witch shop, you know, rather than, you know, oh yeah, I went to the kind of new agey shop, like a new Renaissance thing. Like, I went to this new agey shop. New Renaissance is a store here that's very, like, it has everything.
Very, very new agey, very metaphysical. And that's where the three of us, one of the places that we first started getting traction on this. And that's also, we talked about this in an earlier episode, that sometimes people have a hard time finding their witchcraft shop because they're Googling pagan shop or witchcraft shop.
And it just doesn't come up.
You should be looking at spiritual store or metaphysical store.
Metaphysical store or, like, new age store, you know?
But then and I think it's because of that that leads a lot of witches to be so careful about what kinds of spells they cast. I mean, I teach an online class for Sacred Mists on casting spells. A lot of times my students are so nervous about getting some kind of backlash from the threefold law, or they're worried about this, that, or the other. They're worried about being manipulative. And I said, look, magic is manipulative by nature, because the word manipulation means to change or shape something. Now, we've used that word to describe a negative action, like when you're manipulating another person or you're being emotionally manipulative, or...
But you can, like, manipulate an object.
You can manipulate a jar open.
Yeah, a jar. You can manipulate clay. You can manipulate paint.
Exactly.
Like,
and so driving a car is manipulating a car.
Yeah.
You can be, you can be trying to create energy that heals someone and makes them better. Like, you're trying to change it. Like, you are putting your intention into something else in the same way as if you were doing it, you know, for another reason. But it's all manipulation. It's all trying to create a change in energy.
Right. I mean, and when we look at, like, people in Christian faith, when they're praying, are they manipulating because they're trying to get an outcome?
Right, they're praying for someone
to heal or get a job.
Even within Christianity,
or have a baby or whatever.
Yeah, or within Christianity, there are those questions that, am I going around God's will by praying for something? So there's you even have ethics of what kind
in
of
there,
prayer
yeah.
is appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't caution people to. I say you're going to make mistakes with magic. You do the best that you can, and you do want to think about the outcome. If you're doing magic with the intent to harm someone, I'm going to ask you why. Is it because you're mad at this person? Because you feel slighted by them? Because they, you know, the guy that you like or the girl that you like is really into them? Or is it because that person is hurting others and you have not been able to stop it through legal or personal means? And you want them to stop hurting others, so you are, doing magic that takes away their power to hurt others. I've done that magic with people, and some people say, "Oh, well, that was taking away their free will." And I said, "Well, look at what they were doing to other people."
That, but that's not taking away their dangerous power, right? That I mean, like, if someone is harming someone, like going out and killing people or hurting people, they have to go somewhere where they can't do that anymore. So by putting restrictions on someone magically that is protecting them truly from themselves and themselves towards other people, I mean, I don't see how that's any different than someone, you know, being not allowed to interact with the public because, you know, they they can't, they're not safe. You know, it's like if someone isn't safe, it's okay to put restrictions on them, I think, you know. I think it's not good to take someone's free will away when it's not a danger issue.
And I'm not even sure it's possible to take somebody's free will by magic. No. There may be levels of magic in some traditions that can, but no magic that I have seen away free will.
No.
It influences.
Influences, but it
doesn't
take away
someone's free will.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think one of the things, too, that that's important is when you're thinking about spell work and you're doing spell work, kind of like what Hillary said, is intent matters, and are you trying to, you know, put, are you trying to put good out there? What are you trying to put out there? And listen to yourself. Does this feel good? Does this make me uncomfortable? If this makes me uncomfortable, why does it make me uncomfortable? And use that. Is it because maybe you're not having the right intent? Is that maybe why you're not doing this? And I feel like people really need to kind of get into themselves and realize that the most important part of spell work is yourself and your intent. Because whether or not the color of the candle's right, whether or not you have the right incense, whether or not you have the right oil, all of that stuff doesn't matter nearly as much as the power that you are bringing to the spell and your intent behind the spell. And I really like your analogy of fire, because mm-hmm. it also goes along with the idea that you're going to possibly make mistakes. And you might a couple times get burned. You might thought you were doing the right thing. You tried to do the right thing and you ended up getting burned. And hopefully you will learn from that. And then your next spell will be better. But it doesn't necessarily mean you stop doing spells. It means you be careful.
Try your best. Do the best you can with what you have.
Clear intent.
And if you make a mistake, own it and apologize.
Exactly.
Like you would in any other, like you should in any other form of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this kind of brings us to a good, I think, talking place where one of the things we really like to do is bring in guests to the podcast.
People who know more than we do.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is a lot of people.
And this person we're about to bring in has kindly fielded a million questions of mine over the years that I've known her. So bless her heart, giving even more time to us.
And thank you, by the way. The world thanks you for answering all of her questions.
Seriously.
Like to thank Andrea of Ambrosine Le... So we would like to thank Andrea of Ambrosine Legree Conjure, who is a medium, root worker, spiritual consultant, and teacher that provides spiritual services to her many clients across the globe. Andrea started her professional business as a spiritual consultant in 2009, and in 2015 founded Ambrosine Legree Conjure. Prior to opening up a dedicated business as a consultant, diviner, teacher, and root worker, she consulted and did spiritual work privately for friends and family.
Yes, she did.
During her personal spiritual journey, she discovered the beauty and healing of Reiki and went on to become a Reiki practitioner. During this time, she also was initiated into the Palo Kimbisa religion. And since opening Ambrosine Legree Conjure, she has taught both conjure both publicly and privately and participated in religious and secular conferences that address the needs of underserved communities, and she volunteers her time and services to help the victims of abuse. When she's not working as a spiritual consultant, she spends her time writing, performing, cooking, making incense, and traveling with her family.
And dealing with Courtney.
And dealing with Courtney.
Yeah.
So yes. That is in itself is
a full-time
job.
Okay.
It's totally true.
So again, we all thank you for your service
thank
in that
you.
Regard. One of the things we like to ask people kind of to get to know them is, how did you first know you were a witch or a magical person?
Oh, I didn't know. It actually had to be told to me. My earliest memory was at the age of 6. And a person, it was Christmas Day actually, and the man had unfortunately been stabbed.
Oh.
And he staggered to his mother's window. We lived in a large apartment complex, and I happened to be looking out the window this Christmas morning. It was snowing. And I think I was about 6 years old. And as he was trying to call his mother's name and his spirit left his body, the man found my spirit and asked me to tell his mother that he was sorry and he loved her. So that's my first memory of dealing with anything spirit-wise or magical. It wasn't until probably I was in my preteens, maybe 12 or 13, that I got an inkling that, okay, there is something more, because I could actually, like, hear and pick up things. I'd be in church, the pastor would be preaching, and the spirit would tell me, that's not what that scripture means, it means this. So it's kind of weird, because, you know, you're a kid, you're like in church, and when I was a kid, children were to be seen and not heard, especially during church services. So to kind of be sitting there looking at my grandmother and looking at everybody around in the church going, that's not what that means. As I got older, it was actually people coming to me asking me to help them, you know, can you help me do this? Can you help me manifest that? And it's just really friends and family that were like, hey, you know, you have the ability to do this. And once I realized it, I just kind of took off with it.
Oh, I think that's cool. I think that's kind of an interesting thought of, like you said, it's not really something you sought. It just kind of was something other people saw in you. And eventually you realized, oh, this is a part of me.
I think it's so important to ask people this question, because so often people feel alone. They start out very much like how you started out, Andrea. And then it's become very, it's great to hear from people who have just embraced it and run with it.
So what does your current magical and spiritual practice entail?
Let me say this. I've learned not to have a magical practice. I've learned to live a spiritual life.
Oh, okay.
It's a day-to-day thing, and I have to thank my partner. And his name is Bokono Faze. Partner pointed out something to me, and this is a phrase that I use quite often. Now, currently, I don't practice magic. I live a spiritual life. It's a day-to-day thing. I don't always do it, and I find that living a spiritual life brings in magic. And there's a difference, because when we practice magic, it's something that we don't do consistently. It's something that we do at moments when we are challenged, when we have crises. But when we live a spiritual life, when we need to be magical, when we need to feel magical, we're able to do so at any given time. We don't have to rely on the phases of the moon. We don't have to rely on the day of the week. Spirit is spirit, magic is magic. And we make it happen when we live a spiritual life. That's the mantra that I live by now. Mm. And it took many years to get there. And when I heard that saying, you know, I don't practice spirituality, I live it. And I'm like, ooh, that's right. That's what we do. And that's how we really impact the world and affect change, especially, you know, when we go through hard times. Courtney and I talk a lot and we share a lot of personal things with each other. And when times are hard, it's the living of a spiritual / magical practice that helps us open roads and make huge monumental changes in our lives.
I like that. I think that's awesome. How do you know, kind of, as you're living your spiritual life, at what point do you decide when you want to get spell work and casting involved?
Usually when something crazy happens. That's usually, 9 times out of 10, that's usually when I'm like, oh, I think I might need to do something. It's usually something like really weird that will jump out at me. I'm one of these people, like the grasshopper in Aesop's fable. I'm, you know, bouncing along. I'm not collecting food. I'm having a good time. And then at the 11th hour, I'm like, oh, snap, perhaps I need to do a money lamp. You know, and that's because I'm human and, you know, we live lives and a lot of things are very mundane. Usually something will happen, or I'll feel the need, or I'm prompted by spirit to say, hey, you need to take a look at a situation. And then that will lead me to having to do spell work, to do ritual, give offerings. That's usually how it happens. And believe it or not, I'm going to tell you a secret. That's usually how it happens for most people. Right. Something happens and you're like, oh,
absolutely. Yeah, you don't typically just wake up and be like, hey, I'm just gonna do a spell. Like,
yeah,
well, there's a reason behind why you decided to do that spell.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's always a reason.
Yeah, are there any kind of magical or spiritual routines that you have that can, because I know for me, it's sometimes I like to get to do some kind of work to preemptively bring positive energy into the house. And it's something I learned, one through talking with you, but also just through my own experiences, that sometimes if I have, this makes me sound paranoid, and I always get nervous talking about it, even among witches and even among listeners who believe in these kinds of things. When I have a success, I sometimes find that a spat of bad luck follows, and not always, tremendously bad luck. And it's usually that happens after I have announced my success. And I've realized over the years, it's because people get jealous of other successes. And so one, it makes me very careful about how much talking I do about the good things I do. But also before I do announce, I've got a new book coming out, or I announce we're moving and we're really excited about it, I preemptively do a spell to attract more love to me. And I don't mean romantic love. I mean positive attention. So yeah, let's go ahead and beef up on the positive attention, because I know the negative attention is going to follow. And I say that with caution, because I don't want people to be out there paranoid
that bad things are going to happen.
But I guess I think going through a phase of paranoia is also part of the journey of becoming a better witch. What do you think?
I happen to agree with that. One thing that I have learned from experience, and also being, and you know this very well, Courtney, being in the public spotlight, I really don't advertise my business. Most of my business is word of mouth. And I've learned the hard way of keeping my mouth shut when things are going well. Why? One, because I want to protect my family. Unfortunately, in the online spiritual community, we have staccato, we have evil eye, we have envy, we have jealousy, we have people that do things. I'm a firm believer that, first, let me go to the first part of your question. My ritual is pray before my feet hit the floor.
Okay.
Pray throughout the day. Pray in the evening, even if it's just, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Goddess, whatever you subscribe to. It is consistent prayer. If you're not a prayer from the Abrahamic perspective, because that does factor into my belief system, meditate. Meditate gratitude. Meditate thanksgiving. Ask for the things that you need. And when you do that and you're taking the physical steps to bring in love, bring in positivity, bring in money, you got to ask to be protected, because you want your successes to stay with you. And I find in my experiences that people who have something great happen, and then you might have a little spat of bad luck, what we like to call bad luck or some kind of crazy karma afterwards, is because you've shared your success with the wrong people, and or you didn't put up the protection that you need. And some of us, protection may be as simple as praying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't have to light lamps or candles to protect their hard work and their success. So if you're working very hard, whether it is through tons of ritual, tons of magic spells, positive affirmations, you have to do the protection work as well. You want to keep what you've earned.
Absolutely. Protection work is very, very important. Are there times that you feel like it wouldn't be right to do a spell, when maybe spell work is not the right choice?
Yes. I always defer to divination. I tell this to my private students, public teaching students all the time. You need to find out what's going on first. If you don't know, how are you going to do something successfully? When you are truly upset, and upset to the point where you're not thinking logically and perhaps a little irrationally, that's the worst time to do spell work. Because you might be angry, and when you do spell work, any type of ritual work, once you set it off, it's gone. You cannot take it back. So you need to be logical, even if you're angrily justified, even if you're happily in love. You have to be logical about it. You have to be able to think through why you want to do what you do and how you're going to do it, and you need to divine on it.
I think that's an excellent...
That's how I feel about it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, totally. I agree.
Is there any time that you've ever... You know, one of the things we're talking about, right now is, the ethics of casting spells and practicing magic and whatnot. Is there a time that you know of where either you or someone you know cast a spell and that was clearly not the right choice?
Oh my God, that's an everyday thing. For the past 20 years, especially because of social media now. So we have, and Courtney has heard me say this, seen me type it, we have keyboard gangsters.
Yes.
We have Wikipedia scholars. We have YouTube PhDs. And, you know, people see things in books. They see things in videos. They see memes from, you know, very popular, renowned hoodoo people. Won't call any name. And they go and do them without understanding the repercussions of spell work, without understanding their foundational truths. So when I say it every day, I get at least one or two examples of people doing spell work that they had no business doing. It's every day. That's because there is a lack of foundational knowledge. There's a reason why we need elders. There's a reason why we need sisterhoods and brotherhoods. There's a reason why we need covens and elays. It is through community that we learn and grow. It is through community that we have checks and balances. So for as long as I have been doing things, I am not above going to Courtney and saying, hey, I need you to look at this for me because I'm not in the right headspace for it. Or going to my partner and saying, hey, I need you to look at this. Or sitting down when there's a very well-known Ia in the Orisha tradition, Nigerian Ifa, who I solicit her store. And when she says, daughter, I need you to come sit down, and I literally, as old as I am, sit on the floor right next to her, and if she admonishes me or teaches me something, I've got pen and paper in hand. We need foundational knowledge. We need healthy communities that aren't dysfunctional. Doesn't mean that there won't be problems, to help teach people, because we have an entire generation, both young and old, that are tired of Abrahamic religions. They're tired of being oppressed, and they're turning to magic as a way to solve problems, but they don't know. So I'll give you an example of the very famous thing, the lemon freezer spell. I think it's one of the worst things to ever be let out of the closet because people don't understand the dynamics of what happens when you do a freezer spell. And then they come back and they might come to a worker like myself and say, well, you know, my life is falling apart. I did this, I did that. Well, I'll give you a better example. The vinegar jar. That's a new thing going around for the past year. Where
one quick thing, Andrea, for those who are not familiar, could you explain, describe both the lemon freezer spell and the vinegar jar spell?
Sure. A lemon freezer spell is when you take a person, a picture, a petition paper where you write their name down and write down what you want, and you stick it in a lemon. And you put it in a freezer because you want to freeze this person out. You want to get rid of this person. A vinegar jar is used online. This is what they say online. To change your situation, to cleanse your situation, and to bring you good luck. The problem with that is neither are true. People don't understand the science behind magic and ritual work. They don't understand the emotions and the psychology behind magic and ritual work. So they find these things online, they find them in books, they see a video and they see people who lie. Oh, I did so-and-so and it turned out this way, but the people who posted this stuff, they don't tell you what really happened in the scenes because the cops came to the house because they put their boyfriend in a vinegar jar and he lost his temper and tore up the house and beat her up and scared the kids. They never post these things. So there has to be a depth and a width of responsibility for the magical practitioner, whether novice or pro, whether 1 year in or 100 years in, where you understand the chemistry, the science, and the spiritual laws behind ritual and spell work.
So what would you recommend instead for someone who's looking to freeze someone out?
What I would recommend, because there's so many people out here now doing this, 3 years ago, you did not see this many people with shingles up. What I would recommend is starting with actual old-fashioned foundational books. So there are foundational books out there that you can go to. There are old-school workers who have published things. And this is not an endorsement, but I do know the work. So you have people like star casters who have written books that have good foundational hoodoo things in them. You have scholars like Robert Ferris Thompson, who have written books about the diaspora in Africa and the Caribbean that has good foundational knowledge. You need to learn the culture and the heritage of the magical practice of spirituality that you're going to go into. So Courtney can attest to this. When I started learning about the Bridget Goddess, we had lunch one day, and I'm like, well, tell me about the Bridget Goddess. Give me the history of the people, the place. What does this mean? How does it correlate to that? You have to know the history of the place and the people that you are looking to do the magical practice of, the spirituality of. Some people think that, hey, a candle is just a candle. But when you light it and you add things to it, what context are you doing it in? Are you doing it from a Christian standpoint? Are you doing it from a pagan standpoint, a New Age standpoint? It makes a difference. So always start with the history of the people and the places. That's where you build from. And then from there, if you're consistently doing prayer and meditation, the spirits that walk with you will bring the right people to you to teach you these things. Never be so desperate for knowledge and desperate for change because you're in a state of crisis that you accept the first thing that comes your way. That's one of the first laws and rules of magic practice that I tell people. No matter how bad your situation is, desperation will make it worse.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, okay. That's
I think
really
our listeners
real.
Need to bookmark this episode because yeah. there's so many gems that are coming through right now.
But it's true because desperation is irrational. Like, you can't think clearly if you're desperate.
No, there's no way you can think clearly if you're desperate. And the same thing goes for if you are in a rage.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
When you're in a rage, you don't know if you're justified or not. You just know you're mad.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we've talked about over and over again is one of the most important parts of spell work is intention. And
absolutely.
if your intention is clouded by blind rage. Yeah,
like,
if your intention is clouded intention. By the fact that you're just pissed off or the fact that, you know, you're just so obsessed with something that you're not even
right.
thinking clearly.
No, yeah.
Then the intention is convoluted and it's not going to work.
No, I mean, I think early on I let my emotions rule, you know, and it was like now, I mean, in not just magically, but in general. And now it's like, if I'm upset about something, if I'm sad about something, if I'm whatever, I sit with it. I like meditate on it and I try and break it apart. Like I have a conversation with myself. Where is this coming from? Why do I
yes.
feel this way? Is it because of this moment? Is it because I'm angry about something that happened in the past? Is it because something else is unrelated is going on? I had a bad day. Is that why I'm this mad? You know? And I think when you start to dig deep and you meditate on what the root of that is, sometimes you find out, oh, actually, yes, I am mad about this thing. And sometimes you're like, you know what? Yeah, this thing frustrated me, but the amount of anger that came in was a trauma, was a different situation.
Yeah.
And that separating those things, I think, really help in intention. Because then when you
right.
go in, you know exactly
yes.
where that's coming from. And it's not clouded by the 75 other things that happened
yeah.
that added to
that
your
happened.
Anger today. Yeah.
Right, but what you're talking about, Hillary, I love, because at the beginning, middle, and the end of that is honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
if
personal ownership, you know?
Personal ownership and honesty. If you're going to curse somebody and you are dead wrong, be honest about it. I'm going to curse, you know, Joe Blow because I don't like him. He makes more money than me. He's prettier than me. Blah, 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 blah. Be honest about why you're going to do it.
Yeah.
At the very, if you, you know, as I say, strong and wrong, at least be honest about it.
Yep. No, that's awesome.
At least be honest about why you're doing what you're doing. But when we are honest and we take personal ownership for our things, we may say, you know what, I need to step back for a moment and rethink of what I'm about to do. Because in those moments of clarity, you might find a better way to do things. So you may have said, you know what, I want to do this love spell. Because I want to get this guy, and da da da, and it's the emotion, raw emotion, the passion, the lust, the desire. When you're honest about those things, you may step back and say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do a love work. What I should do is a communication work.
Yeah.
So this person and I can start speaking, and then you might see, oh, I really don't want to be with this person, or you know what? This person really is for me. Now I can take it from communication to friendship, and you build. because the success of any work is how you start it.
Yeah.
What you put into it. Did you put the right ingredients? Did you do the right prayers? Were you honest about your prayers?
Mm-hmm. Were you honest with yourself about what it is you want? I know one year, many years ago, I kept doing a shut up spell on my coworker because she was constantly saying these mean, nasty things and bothering me a lot. And it didn't work. And I think what you're saying now makes me think what I really needed to do was perhaps do a spell to either heal the part of myself that was vulnerable
to that, yeah.
Or do some kind of, like, instead of shut up, shut out. You know, because was this back when I believed in the threefold law? I basically kept saying, whenever you shall speak of me, it shall affect you 3 times 3. Well, this woman didn't care. So
yeah, she didn't care.
So people didn't like her. If people liked her less, it didn't matter to her. She was going to keep doing what she was doing because I was assuming that she would actually care and would want people to like her, but she didn't. And so, you know, what I really needed to do was just tune her out. You know?
Right, and address the personal part of you, because here's the other spiritual law. Your personal standards and edicts for yourself are that. They're yours. They don't belong to me. They don't belong to Hillary. They don't belong to anybody. They belong to you. So what you hold yourself to, I'm not going to subscribe to that, because, one, I don't know your personal mandates for living. I don't know your moral code. And my moral code may be totally different than yours. So you might be going out doing the threefold law, saying, well, as you bless me, I bless you. And nothing is happening. When we're honest with ourselves and we step back and we do divination to see what the situation is and to see who we're dealing with, then you'll see clearly how you need to deal with the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's really true. I think that's such a good point.
Are there any like resources that you would recommend to people or places that you would recommend for people to kind of really get some better grounding on kind of how to go about doing spell work and when would be a good time and all that kind of stuff?
Let's see. Other than myself? No, just kidding.
Seriously.
You are a resource.
I mean, I do consult and teach privately. That's my preference because I prefer the one-on-one. I like to see growth because I'm not in this to make money. I'm in this for elevation. I'm in this to see people grow. So persons like myself who teach privately, one of my god sisters in Palo Kandisa, Lelia of Reigns Conjure, she teaches. Courtney is a source that I stand by, and I go to Courtney.
Thank you.
Do you have any events coming up or anything you want people to know about you or how they can find you?
Oh, events. So I am partnering with several different people. There are spiritual awareness workshops that I do in person. Our next city tentatively is Jacksonville, Florida, so we'll put that up on Facebook.
Great.
I do private and, I won't say they're public. They're kind of semi-private instructions. We do it through Facebook Live, believe it or not, in a private group. So people would have to send me a message to say, when is the next one? The reason why we do it that way is because we have a lot of people who are interlopers. We have people that want to throw, you know, oh, you're going to go to hell. And I don't want my students to go through that because a lot of people are stepping out of their shells. A lot of people are afraid of backlash from friends and family, so we try to keep it private. We are doing, Lelia Reigns Conjure and I, we are doing a money workshop where we take people who are in the New York, New Jersey tri-state area to a casino. So it's like a two-week workshop that we do online. We teach you money spells, gambling magic, and we give you homework. And you have 2 weeks to work it every day, and then we go to the casino together.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
You know,
so
we were cool. Actually, one of our recent episodes, we talked about powerful places. And so a casino for money magic, I never thought that would be.
I think we have another podcast recording site in our future. Sorry, honey, I have to go to the casino.
We'll
be doing that. This is March, April. We'll be doing that in May of 2019.
Oh, okay. Fun.
That's awesome.
That'll be in New Jersey and one in Connecticut. So, you know, we post up what we're doing, but we do a lot of online teaching. I do a lot of online teaching. So you can usually find me online. The face-to-face workshops, I've kind of gotten away from them because there's so many people. in remote locations that just don't have access. So 9 times out of 10, and I'm bad at that. I promise y'all, it's 2019. I'll get better with it. There's always something going on, and I'm always somewhere. So between the spiritual awareness workshops, which are in person, usually they happen in Philadelphia. We're trying to do something in Jacksonville, Florida, New York, New Jersey. So truthfully, I get around. It's just not necessarily always advertised.
Awesome.
So if you send me a message or check my website, every now and then something will pop up.
And we'll put your website up on our site as well, so people can find you.
Yes. Your listeners definitely go.
They'll want to look. They'll want to find.
Remind everybody that we have a resource list on every episode at thatwitchlife.com.
Yeah.
So come in and
you'll see the recording, and right below it lists all the resources we've talked about on the episode and any of the websites and resources from our guests.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, but most people can contact me privately. And, you know, one of the things that has always been an issue for me is how expensive things have gotten.
Oh, definitely.
Many of us are not multimillionaires. Some of us may be destined to be multimillionaires, and some of us may work a 9-to-5 for the rest of our lives. I want spirituality to be affordable. I want magic to be affordable. So I keep my prices affordable even for private students. So if, you know, 3 to 5 people get together, I'll do a private group workshop for them.
That's really awesome. Yeah,
they just have to contact me. There are always costs associated with any spirituality. If you go to the Christian church and you're a frequent tither, you're going to give 10 to 20% of your salary.
Yep.
You're being initiated into an ATR, you're working with a priest, there will be costs associated with it.
Of course.
So I like people to get off of that, because cheap is as cheap does. Sometimes 5 cents will get you $5,000 worth of stuff. So we have to have a better relationship with money and spirituality.
Absolutely.
And how we learn and what we do, because again, the internet has been a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it connects people. I'm able to keep in touch with Courtney, and we're both on different coasts now. That's the blessing of the internet. So we can have fellowship. We can have friendship long distance because of the internet. And at the same time, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So that's
so much misinformation. Oh my God.
Right. That's one of the things I'm passionate about, is proper education, safety, because again, when you set off certain types of ritual and spell work, you can't get them back. And if you have employed and deployed them improperly, the cleanup can be monumental.
Yeah.
I think all of us have experienced that personally, and we've seen other people who have done it.
And that really is part of why we wanted to do this, because there are so many people that don't know where to find good resources or where to go or what's good and what's right and what's not. And it's hard to weed through it. So, you know, we're so grateful to have you here to gain more knowledge into things that we personally and our listeners also will be so excited to hear about.
One of the things we do at the end of our podcast is we have this thing where we've called it So Below As Above. No.
Okay.
I did it wrong again.
No, you did it So Below As. No, you did.
I did it wrong again.
So above as below.
Okay. We do this thing at the end of
So above, something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I don't know.
Okay, hold on. We're getting the paper.
We do it above.
We do it backwards.
Sorry, okay.
But then that would give ourselves a hard time. So
yeah, we do as below, so above.
Yeah. Anyway,
so at the end of our podcast, we do as below, so above.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a switch on the old phrase. And what we do is we write down one thing that we want to bring into our life and one thing that we want to let go. And then we put it in the cauldron and then we light it on fire afterwards. So who wants to start?
Oh, I'll start. Letting go. This is not for me. It's for my puppy. I want to let go of my puppy's separation anxiety so I can go leave the house once in a while. So that's my letting go. And what I want to bring in is a little more space in my day, so I can work on my next book proposal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so, nice.
Bringing those in. All right, into the cauldron they go.
Go for it.
So for bringing in, I think that I'm going to continue with my wanting to bring in peace and calm. I'm finally getting to a point where a lot of the projects that I have overcommitted myself to are starting to end, and I'm starting to feel the anxiety of what is it going to happen when I don't have all these 8 million things that I'm planning. What on earth am I going to do with my free time? So I want to bring in peace and calm, and I want to let go of the anxiety that comes with me now worrying about what I'm going to be doing in my free time.
Totally.
Which makes no sense. But in my head, makes perfect
no,
sense.
It totally makes sense. Oh, I'm one of those people too. For me, I am letting go of this, like, I have a lot going on right now, which is great. They're all things that I'm happy about, but I also sometimes get, like, over worried about balancing everything out. I'm like, no, and it's this struggle of rather than letting things flow, like, sometimes you have more attention to things one day and sometimes more the other day. I tend to get involved in going like, oh no, I'm not making enough time for this thing. And then I start to panic. And then I actually lose time because I spend my time worrying about making time. And it's a really stupid cycle. So I'm letting go of the worry of making enough time. And I'm bringing in time because I'm not worrying.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's see. I want to let go. I'm a notorious procrastinator. Okay. So I want to let go of my notorious procrastinator ways. I love working well under pressure, but it's not always the best way to work. And I want to bring in pushing up the publishing date of my first book.
Ooh. Nice. You have
that's
to come back
awesome.
When it's out.
Yes, you have to.
That is awesome.
I most certainly will. I most certainly will. It's been a long time coming, so we're going to make this happen this year.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Well, we're going to put that in the cauldron from you.
Yeah.
And
well, thank you.
We just want to thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my gosh.
Us.
Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
I am so excited to be on your podcast. I actually do listen because I, Courtney doesn't know this. I'm about to do True Confessions. I stalk my friend's page.
Yay!
I'm a total stalker too, so it's fine. I always stalk my friend's projects. I'm like, I want to see what they're doing. I got to know.
I stalk my friends. I stalk her. And I'm going to start stalking the
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we absolutely are going to want to have you back when you have your new book out.
Yeah, we're so excited.
I will be honored to come back, and then let me just end this by speaking a blessing over the three of you. May everything that walks with you, young and old, spirit, non-spirit, may they protect you, may they bless you, may your enemies always be under your feet, may you have successes beyond your wildest dreams, Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're fabulous. Thank you.
For having me, and I look forward to being back on with my new book.
Yay! Yay!
Well, if it makes you feel any better, don't worry about stalking us because I'm going to start stalking you. So I think that she's made girlfriend status.
Oh God, Andrea,
run away!
I have
run
another
away
girlfriend.
Far.
She's made girlfriend status.
She collects people. She's like. This is
I
my
love
girlfriend.
Her.
This is my
I
boyfriend.
Love her
this
now.
Is my person. This
Chiron's,
is
think... Chiron's one of her boyfriends. And
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in ages. I got to go yell at him privately. I hope he listens to the podcast and know that it's coming.
Well, you... now you can tell him. You can be like, well, you may be her boyfriend, but I'm her girlfriend, so.
Yeah. Equal status.
Equal status.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes